Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey, on the bay overlooking Staten Island. On today's program, we're going to look at something rather deep. I've entitled the program, Frenchism versus Amariism, which are really not isms. But David French, an evangelical Christian and writer for National Review, and Sourabh Amari, a Roman Catholic and op-ed writer for the New York Post, got into a little scuffle about political ideology. Both are conservative, but they disagree on a fundamental principle. Amari launched the first attack on French in his editorial in a New York Post entitled Against David Frenchism. And David French responded in an article in a National Review entitled In Defense of Frenchism. As David French writes, he can't believe Frenchism is now a thing. So why address this intellectual altercation? I mean, this is Christian radio. Shouldn't we just do a Bible study? Well, this will be a Bible study. Or rather, this will illustrate a biblical teaching and the current opposition to that biblical teaching, which on its face sounds good and right until you examine it in the light of Scripture. One of the purposes of this program is not only to teach the biblical doctrines of civil government, but to show its application in current events. Often, Christians fail to bridge the gap between the biblical doctrine and the practical application. So what is the conflict between French and Amari? Well, regardless of those two people, I'm sure that if you're a Christian and you have done any thinking about the culture, you have already sensed this conflict between French and Amari. You might not have been able to define it with academic labels. You might not have known the proponents of the various positions. But I am sure you intrinsically know the issue. It's a conflict between a democracy and a republic. It's a conflict between the judicial branch and the legislative branch. It's a conflict between the Baptist Roger Williams of Rhode Island and the Presbyterian leaders of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It's a conflict between individual rights and governmental authority. Okay, those descriptions may not have helped you. How about this? The conflict between everyone was doing what is right in his own eyes and the authority of the king. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. You know, at some point, we all know that freedom cannot be absolute. Individual human rights cannot be absolute. At some point, the government has to step in to prevent murder and rape, even self-destructive individual behavior like cocaine and meth. But where do we draw the line? You know, for some, the answer is democracy. We just all vote, and the will of the majority becomes the morals of the land. If 51% say abortion ought to be legal, then abortion's legal. So for these people, democracy is the answer. This is classic liberalism, Jeffersonian individual liberty. The people create the law of the land. And so as Americans, we need to fight for plurality in America. That we're to tolerate all sorts of different religions and moral opinions and moral practices. In this regard, I heard one conservative commentator even go as far as to say, if you live in San Francisco and you want transvestites reading to your children in the library, that's fine. That is what San Franciscans can do in their own town. However, you should have the freedom to do something different in your town. Now, that all sounds fair, but is that biblical? Does God call the state to make the basis for morality, moral equality, or moral egalitarianism? Or does God call the state to enforce God's natural law, regardless of popular opinion? Well, it's the latter. And that's why our founding fathers established a republic, not a democracy. The founders were actually afraid of a democracy because they considered it mob rule, where morals would be based upon the 51% vote. But in a republic, wise leaders are supposed to act on the higher law of God, regardless of public polling. So in that sense, the solution to America's moral decadence is not more freedom or a plurality, but returning to the God-given role of the government to regulate the morals of the people. Now, the same conservative commentator who thought American liberty means letting the people in San Francisco do their own thing went on to explain that the American way means you can't force people to believe in God, so you have to give people freedom of conscience in regards to their moral choices. So he's claiming that the fruit of our Christian belief is this American allowance for pluralism. Now, certainly, the Protestant Reformation brought about the concept that the state could not force religious beliefs on people. It could not mandate church membership. But the Protestant Reformation still taught that the state was to be under God, that the state was to enforce the universal moral laws of God on both Christians and non-Christians alike. So American pluralism was never to mean that the child sacrifices and the gross immoralities associated with pagan Baal worship were to be allowed alongside the virtues of Jehovah worship. But that is what secularists are now claiming, that the American way is complete pluralism. So abortion and homosexual marriage and transgenderism needs to be legalized and celebrated. You see, the problem with some conservative commentators is that they follow the philosophy and the logic of classical liberalism more than the revealed revelation of God in Scripture. So before I review the articles by French and Amari and the conflict there, let's look at some scriptures. There's a lot of Bible we could look at, but let me just give you one example. In Genesis chapter 19, we read about God's judgment upon Sodom because the city was given over to LGBTQ. And many Christian teachers in our day have made the point that the sin of Sodom was not just homosexuality, but straight people tolerating homosexuality. It's reasonable to assume that the entire city of Sodom was not homosexual. Like most societies, homosexuals make up only a tiny minority. However, the people in Sodom permitted, tolerated, and celebrated homosexual activity, even though most of the people did not have a penchant toward homosexuality. They were in the same rebellion against God as homosexuals, because they supported sexual license, sexual autonomy from God. In Judges chapter 19, in the Jewish tribe of Benjamin, homosexuals accosted a man and then raped his servant girl. The other tribes of Israel were outraged by this perversion, and so they gathered their armies together to go to war against the tribe of Benjamin. They did not fight and eventually destroy the tribe of Benjamin because of those few perverted men. They went to war with the Benjamites because the tribe of Benjamin would not turn these men over for justice. The entire city supported and defended these sexual deviants. So the error was really twofold. Both the sexual perversion of some and the wrongful view of pluralism and the rejection of the God-given role of the government to prohibit homosexual activity. Here's another example of this issue. The other day I was skimming C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, and in his talk about Christian marriage, Lewis asked the question, quote, how far Christians, if they're voters or members of parliament, or to try to force their views of marriage on the rest of the community. Now, this was the 1940s, and Lewis was referring to allowance for divorce, not homosexual marriage. And Lewis concludes the following. A great many people seem to think that if you're a Christian yourself, you should try to make divorce difficult for everyone. I do not think that. At least I know I should be angry if the Mohammedans, the Muslims, try to prevent the rest of us from drinking wine. My own view is that the church should frankly recognize that the majority of the British people are not Christian and therefore cannot be expected to live Christian lives. There ought to be two distinct kinds of marriages, one governed by the state with rules enforced on all citizens, and the other governed by the church with rules enforced by her on all of her members. The distinction ought to be quite sharp, so that a man knows which couples are married in a Christian sense and which are not. Now, by the way, in regard to Lewis saying Christians should not make divorce difficult for everyone, Ronald Reagan said one of his biggest regrets while he was the governor of California was that he signed into law a no-fault divorce, which made divorce easy for everyone. And Reagan realized later that it had an effect of cheapening marriage in the culture. Well, Lewis there was reflecting a very common conclusion found in evangelicalism, but C.S. Lewis was wrong. Or C.S. Lewis really didn't think through what he was saying. Marriage and the laws regarding the institution of marriage are not only for the church. But in Genesis chapter 3, God instituted marriage for all of mankind. Just like laws concerning theft and murder and sexual perversion and adultery. Those laws need to be applied to everyone. And the state is responsible to enforce God's natural law. This concept that since the public is unsaved, the state doesn't have to require of them God's law, is one of the greatest fallacies of our day. In other words, this concept of letting everyone have moral freedom and all will be well is very dangerous. This concept that personal freedom, moral license, is what will make America great, that freedom will save America, do not believe that lie. The only way America can be saved is if her governmental leaders return to believe in government's duty to enforce God's natural law. So now, let's look at how this all plays out in this editorial war between French and Amari. Again, this conflict is nothing new, but in their articles, they do a great job of bringing the conflict to light and explaining the current nature of the conflict. And the conflict, again, is A, we are to protect our freedoms by promoting pluralism and more classic liberal freedoms, or B, protect our liberty by acknowledging that some liberties need to be limited by government force. Or we could describe it this way. A, we're to be fighting for pluralism, or B, we're to be fighting for a Christian state. Not a theocracy, but a state that will follow God's basic moral laws, such as it's illegal to kill a child in the womb. So, Amari begins his article by explaining he has given this whole issue a lot of thought, and he sees David French as representing a persuasion, a sensibility concerning how to fix America, a political theology that he, Amari, disagrees with, and he goes on to explain what he believes is French's error. That French sees America as a neutral zone, where both traditional Christians and pagans can coexist. Hence, the argument conservatives need to make to maintain religious liberty is that traditional Christians should be granted space to practice what they sincerely believe. This is First Amendment rights. Give the pagans their right to practice. Give the Christians their right to practice. Amari then explains that method of promoting pluralism has not worked very well for us. We keep losing moral ground in America, and we are increasingly being squeezed out of the public square. And Amari sees that French's approach, very common approach among conservatives, is somewhat to blame for this. Why? Because French and like-minded conservatives are saying to the left, we will grant you autonomy. Won't you grant us autonomy? But that is promoting the very foundation of leftism, individual autonomy. As if protecting individual license is the sole purpose of government, rather than doing what is morally right. Quote from Amore, here's the problem. The movement we are up against prizes autonomy above all. Indeed, its ultimate aim is to secure for the individual will the widest possible berth to define what is true and good and beautiful against the authority of tradition. So what he's saying is that French is trying to beat the left while accepting the left's premise of personal autonomy, accepting that personal autonomy is the highest value. So French is promoting the very philosophy that the left has used to remove God from the public square. And Amari goes on to write that the libertines, the left, take the logic of maximum autonomy, the one that French shares, to its logical conclusion. They say, in effect, for us to feel fully autonomous, you Christians, must positively affirm our sexual choices, our transgressions, our power to disfigure our natural bodies and redefine what it means to be human, lest your disappropriation makes us feel less than fully autonomous. Amari then quotes an archbishop, if traditional moral precepts are considered purely religious personal beliefs, they cannot be rationally defended. And because they are rationally indefensible, they will then be treated as a form of prejudice. Thus, 2,000 years of moral truth and religious principles become by sleight of hand a species of bias. So the point that Amari is making is that logically, the state must enforce basic morals on all people, otherwise the country is on the path to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the godly in the land will eventually be persecuted when the law is every man can do that which is right in his own eyes. When the Old Testament prophets confronted the kings and the people in ancient Israel concerning their immorality and their infanticide, did the prophets use as an argument pluralism, that you Baal worshipers should leave us Jehovah worshipers alone because everyone should have freedom? Did the prophets say, I'm going to defend your right to practice child sacrifice and the immorality of Baal worship just as much as I'm going to defend the rights of Jehovah worshipers? Well, of course not. They dealt with the rightness or the wrongness of the moral issue at hand. That abortion and sexual deviance is evil, and it needs to be illegal for everyone. We become spineless cowards when we just make the argument for moral religious freedom. For example, Daniel and his three friends. They did not make the argument to King Nebuchadnezzar that they shouldn't have to bow down to the golden idol because Babylon should allow for religious tolerance. No, they made the argument that idolatry is evil, period. But as it is now, conservatives in our day are trying to win the culture by claiming pluralism. And Amari's contention is that such an approach will only promote the anti-God philosophy of pagan license. And our responsibility before God is not to promote moral autonomy, but to promote righteousness. Remember in the Lincoln-Douglas debates, Douglas believed in populism, that each state should have the right to be a slave state or a free state, that the 51% majority rules. Lincoln said that that is an attitude of indifference toward right and wrong. The higher law of God needs to override the will of the people, and that is the biblical Christian position. But with the philosophy of pluralism, Slavery would never have been overturned in America. And using the philosophy of pluralism today, abortion and LGBTQ behavior will never cease. In fact, it'll only get worse. Because it's an unbiblical model for government. Now, these are not Amari's words. This is my commentary. But this is the underlying theme in Amari's piece. So David French's response in National Review is entitled In Defense of Frenchism Himself. And French states that Amari made this a personal attack. And Amari has created a straw man, milquetoast, libertarian view of the real David French. But then David French goes on to confirm everything Amari says about him. French says he believes in classical liberalism, that he rejects Christian statism. The founders of America emphasized liberty, that the government is responsible for securing liberties, the people are responsible for advancing virtues, and that the solution to the assault of the left is more pluralism, that America will always be a nation of competing worldviews, and there needs to be a space for everyone. Drag queens should have the right to read books to children in the library. The government shouldn't stop it. Otherwise, as the old argument goes, then the state can prevent the reading of C.S. Lewis in the library. Now, in this article, David French actually writes, while government should, of course, seek the common good, they do not and should not have the brute coercive force to reorder the public square to achieve what government defines as good. Oh, really? Well, my Bible reads, Proverbs 20:26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them. We should expect government to use brute coercive force against the individual liberty of rapists and pedophiles and abortionists. And I expect that David French does believe that the state should enforce God's universal moral laws. French just doesn't explain which, or doesn't know which. And Amari doesn't explain that conservatives are not looking to create a theocracy as it's defined today, but expecting the state to enforce basic moral laws. Society needs to operate on a unified, agreed-to basic moral covenant, and Amari needs to explain what is natural law. And better explain how we are to urge the state to abandon this concept of absolute secular pluralism so that America doesn't become Sodom. So there's a controversy. Some conservatives believe the answer is pluralism. Give everyone moral freedom and may the best people group win. And the other group says no. One of the main solutions is for the government to return to its God-given responsibility. So, what do we do with this knowledge? Well, remember that people need to look to the scripture rather than to the philosophy of classical liberalism, to look to the Bible rather than to Jefferson and Locke, and to remember that the way to save the nation is for everyone, the government, the people, to again obey God. It's unlikely our nation's going to do this anytime soon, but remember, you as an individual can repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and thereby becoming a member, a citizen of Christ's eternal kingdom. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people be grounded in the word so that we're not led astray by all the isms of this world. Help us to proclaim the message of your kingdom so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of our Savior we pray, amen.